Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, over to Romans 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And we should, everything's good to go, right? Okay, good. Romans 10, 17. And this is a passage you've read before, you've seen. It's a passage you definitely want to remember. As a believer, it says this: so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See that verse there? Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we are grateful that we can meet here this morning in this facility, and at least for the present time in our country, we're still able to do so without fear of persecution and without the city officials coming down on us, like we read this morning at Ephesus, where the religious system really came down on what Paul was doing. But Father, we're grateful that we have the opportunity to meet here to study Your Word and collectively as a local assembly to grow in an appreciation of who You are and an understanding of how Your Word works in our life. And it is to that end that we pray this morning. It is to that end that we want to study this issue this morning about the issue of faith. And we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, notice again that verse. It's going to be a verse I want you to remember this, not just for today's lesson, but really the rest of your life as a believer, right? But I want you to think about that verse in relationship to our study today. That verse says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a lot of discussion, not just in the world out there, but in the church, in Christianity as a whole, and groups that would align themselves with Christianity. There's a lot of discussion about, well, what is faith? How much faith do you have to have? How long do you have to have faith? Did you have enough faith? A lot of discussion out there about what faith is. And what we're going to do for purposes of this study this morning, we're going to start with that verse right there and make sure that we at least have an appreciation of the biblical use of the word faith. Because when I talk this morning, and you notice I have a bunch of phrases up here that have faith in it. I'll come to that in just a minute. We want to make sure that we're using that word from the standpoint that the Bible uses it. Okay? So that verse says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if that's true, and it is, then in order for someone to have what we would call biblical faith, what has to be true? You have to have the Word of God. But not only that. You not only have to have the Word of God, in the Word of God that you have, it has to have said something about whatever the subject is that you're trying to decide whether or not you should have faith in it. Right? Let me say that again. When the Bible uses the word faith, and by the way, this is not 100% of the time, because sometimes it uses the word faith just in the sense of integrity or fidelity. Okay? But in the sense of that word right there, when it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, you have to have the Word of God. And in the Word of God, He has to have said something, He has to have conveyed information, in order for you to have faith in it. In other words, if God never told you what car to buy, then you can't say, well, by faith, I'm buying that Beamer. Or that Porsche. I mean, you can say that, but that doesn't make it so. So keep in mind this, that in order, when the Bible uses the word faith, most of the time, it tells us that God has said something, and therefore we can believe what He says. By the way, just so that I don't confuse anybody, I want you to look at a passage over here in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I do want you to see this verse. Here's one time when the Apostle Paul uses the word faith in the sense of integrity. And the only reason I'm doing it now is so I don't forget to do it, and that way I can kind of clarify that. So watch this. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Yes, it is 2 Thessalonians. Thank you. Thank you. All right. 3:1. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Now watch verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not what? See, the sense of the word faith in that verse, he's not simply saying all men don't believe, because that's true. It's the sense that not all men have integrity. You can't trust them. So he's concerned about when he says wicked and unreasonable men. Not all men either believe in God or believe God or believe in anything. You get, so there's a sense in which he uses the word more so in the idea all men have not integrity. You can't trust them. That's a true statement. Okay? Some men, some people are reasonable, where you can talk with them and they won't cut your head off, that kind of thing. Others, not so much. All right? So just keep that verse in mind as one of the ways the Apostle Paul uses the word faith. That's not the sense in which I have it up on the board here. I just wanted to kind of get that one out of the way. So back to our point, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you're going to have faith in something, according to how the Bible uses the word faith, then God has to have said something about whatever it is that you're trying to decide whether you can have faith in it. If God has never said something about a particular topic, you can say, well, I have faith in it, but that doesn't make it biblical faith. Right? And by the way, neither does it make it right. Okay? Truth is truth, regardless of who believes it. Truth doesn't become truth based upon the percentage of the population that believes it. Truth is truth because it's the truth, period. No matter, you know, what a judicial system says, no matter what a society says, no matter what the world says, no matter what people believe. If something is true, then it is true because it's true. Not because it's necessarily popular or unpopular, for that matter. All right? All right, now, if you were here with us last week, we spent the whole session looking at what Paul calls one faith. And that is based on Ephesians 4, where he's talking about the sevenfold unity of spirit. And one of the seven, he says, there's one faith. And we looked at how when Paul uses that phrase, one faith, another phrase he uses that he's talking about the same thing is the faith. And we determine from Paul's epistles that when he talks about one faith, the faith, it is a reference to information that Christ gave to him. It's a reference to the program. It's a reference to the body of information that the Lord Jesus Christ committed to the Apostle Paul. Okay, so we looked at that in detail last time. If you're not here, please go back and listen to the message last week, because I don't want to teach all that again. But it's not that I don't want to, it's just we've got to move on, okay? Okay? But when the Apostle Paul talks about the one faith, about the faith, he says, men shall depart from the faith, that which is committed to thy trust, that information. He's talking about the present dispensation of grace. He's talking about what he calls the mystery of Christ. He's talking about that information that had been hidden in God from before the foundation of the world and was first disclosed in history when Jesus Christ began to disclose it to the Apostle Paul. What I want to do today is have us realize that that's not the only way the Apostle Paul uses the word faith. Look at all the other phrases on the board there. First of all, just the word faith. Then the faith. One faith. These actually are going to be the same. All right. Then he uses phrases like the faith of Christ. He uses a phrase, the faith of God. He uses a phrase, your faith. He uses the phrase faith to faith. He uses the phrase believe, belief, trust. He'll say things like believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but then he'll say believe in Jesus. See all that? Now, because of the different ways the Apostle Paul seeks to convey what faith is, like, is it believing? Or is it trusting? Or is it believing on? Or is it believing in? The Lord Jesus Christ also says things like this, O ye of little faith. He said things like, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, well, so does that mean that I have to have a certain amount of faith in order to either, you know, get saved or be secure? There is a teaching out there that fundamentally is resulting in turning faith into a work. And here's what it's doing. It's causing people to think this way. Fundamentally, it's causing them to doubt their salvation. Wonder if they got saved. Because the struggle is this. Well, did I believe hard enough? Was my belief sincere? Did I believe long enough? Was a split second long enough, or should it have been 2 or 5 or 10 minutes or more than a day? Did I have enough intensity and sincerity in my faith? Is faith the gift of God? Or is it something I have to generate? You see what's going on with all this? All of these questions, and I'm not saying they're not reasonable questions. The Bible has the answer to all these questions. But understand this, that the current debate, the current discussion about all that, and when I say current, it's been going on for years and years and years and years. Okay, it's just come to the surface again because it keeps bubbling up, that kind of thing. But think about all those questions. Fundamentally, you know what they wind up having you do? Questioning your security. Wondering, did you really get saved? Perhaps some of you right now, right now you're thinking that. And so you're thinking, okay, Lord, just in case I didn't believe last week, I really mean it this time. And well, what's the problem with that? Well, then the problem is, next time the whole concept kind of comes up and everything, and you say, well, okay, Lord, that last time John preached that message, okay, I know I told you I really did mean it, and I really did, but in case I didn't mean it enough and didn't mean it just right, and then I really do mean it right this time. So, Lord, please, really, I mean it this time, and I'm right about it. Really, Lord, really? Listen, what's happening in all those scenarios? What's that? It's what? That's exactly what it's doing. It's turning faith into a work. And faith is not a work. All of those... Let me back up. I'm not saying that it's wrong in the privacy of your own heart to discuss with the Lord about whether or not you really trusted Christ. Do that for sure. I don't care how long you've been coming to this church or how long you've been involved in the Word of God and so forth. You do need to have that discussion with the Lord. Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? If not, when you die, and let's say you never trust Him between now and you die, you are going to go to hell. The Bible makes it very, very clear. You are going to go to hell when you die. How many of you want to go there? For those listening on the internet, no one's hand is up today, okay? All right. So absolutely do have that discussion with the Lord in the privacy of your own heart. And about whether or not you really have trusted Him. Let me give you a personal experience that happened to me, and not that I'm appealing to experience, but I went shortly after I got saved. Of course, you guys know I was going to Texas A&M University. I was in the Corps of Cadets and everything. I got saved during my junior year, late in my junior year. And I remember one day I was out, because I would run a lot, we do a lot of exercise, this and that, and I was out running, it had a big, beautiful golf course. We would go run the golf course and try to miss getting hit by the golf balls, right? But I remember after I got saved, I don't remember how long after I got saved this happened, but I remember I was a fairly new believer, and I really began to, you know, just doubt. Man, did I really get saved? You know, did I really trust Christ? Because I had come to the point where I knew I was going to die and go to hell. I knew it. If all my sins didn't get forgiven, I was going to go to hell. And I remember I was out there running and really struggling with that, and then really felt condemned. Did I do it just right? Did I do it long enough, hard enough, and sincere enough? And then I remember the one thought that crossed my mind was this. I said, God, my only plea is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's my only plea. I have nothing else I can plead. Not the intensity of my belief, not the duration of my belief, not the strength of my belief, not even the sincerity of my belief. The only thing I can plead to you, God, and I was, you know, I was by myself. I was talking out loud on the golf course, you know. And I said, Lord, the only thing I plead is the blood of Christ. That's my only plea. See that? So I myself struggle with that issue, making faith a work. And people to this day struggle with that issue. Quickly, we have a lot to go over quickly. Go ahead. That's exactly right. It's not an emotion. And hopefully we'll see that as we go here. But anyone here today, don't feel, sometimes if you struggle with your faith, you feel almost embarrassed because, man, I've been going to church there for so long, how can I even bring up the topic and everything? Man, people will think I'm an idiot. No, are you kidding? No one will think that of you. And if they do, they're wrong. And why allow the potential eternal destiny of your soul dependent on what they think of whether or not you truly believe? There's nothing wrong with having that discussion with the Lord and reminding ourselves, my only plea is the blood of Christ. Because if that's not enough, my faith's useless. The merit, the value, the worth is not in my believing something. The merit, the value, the worth is in the person and the work, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the merit is. That's where the value is. Gold doesn't have value just because you believe it has value. It has intrinsic value. See the concept there? So when we talk about faith, God says something. Therefore, since He cannot lie, it must be true, whether or not we believe it. But now we can make a choice in the privacy of our own heart. Say, Lord, I'm going to believe You. I'm going to trust what You say. That's what faith is. Faith is not a work. Faith is not a work. It's not the result of you and me in the energy of our own flesh trying to get up enough to finally make sure we got in. Or the idea that I have to believe long enough. Okay, was 30 seconds long enough? Start your clocks, right? Stop. Was that long enough? See that? It has nothing to do. Because the value, the merit is not in our believing. The merit, the value is in the integrity of God. The power is in His Word. Watch this. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy. Let's just run some references here. Let's try to piece some of this together. I said 1 Timothy, but the one I really want, I want Titus 1. Let's build a picture here. Let's allow the Word of God to instruct us. Titus chapter number 1. Look at Titus chapter number 1 at verse 2. Titus 1 verse 2 says this. It says, in hope, and we've in the past talked about the word, the biblical use, how Paul uses the word hope, right? It's not the sense of you hope that you'll have enough gas to get you home from church afterwards today. You'll hope that you get the promotion at work. You hope that your team wins the game. That's not the sense of the word hope in the Bible. When Paul uses the word hope, it means it's confident expectation that what God promised, since He cannot lie, it will come to pass. Okay, so he says, in hope of eternal life, which God that what? Cannot lie. Okay, just stop there. What does the God of the Bible claim in that verse about Himself? Okay. Again, we've talked about this before. People say God can do anything. No, that's not a true statement. Can God do anything? The answer is no. That verse tells you He cannot do anything. What is it that God cannot do? Is that good or bad? Why is that good? Because you can trust Him. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a
liar.
I was at the airport last night waiting for a ride back, come back here and everything. And of course, I got some lunch and everything, and I'm sitting down at this one table, this big, gigantic open area at the airport terminal and everything. And of course, there's people all over the place. They're all having these conversations. And there was a guy and a girl. I have no idea what the relationship was and everything, but there was a guy and a girl sitting on the table next to me. Yeah, I was talking pretty loud enough for everybody to all hear him. And he was talking about some, being in business with people and everything. And he says things like this. And I mean, I guess he's really trying to impress this girl or whatever, but guys do that, Anyway, they try to. They don't often succeed. But anyway, so he's saying something like, yeah, this guy really swindled me in business, and I just don't like people who you can't trust in business. I would never lie in business. He said that. I just wanted to, should I show him that verse that says that God be true and every man a liar? I chose not to, but anyway. He was way bigger than I was. But I just, let God be true and every man a liar. Listen, the thing about God is He cannot lie. You can trust Him. You can do business with God. You can trust Him with your soul. Because He cannot lie. See that? That verse says He promised eternal life. So let's build on that. Since that verse tells us the very nature of the God of the Bible, not the God of the world out there, the God of the Bible. He cannot lie. That's a solid foundation you can build on. He tells us something else. Look over with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians 1, and then get Philippians. Okay, we'll do this one at a time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. It says this. For Christ sent me not to battle. I'm at 1 Corinthians 1:17. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says this. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You know what gospel means, right? What does gospel mean? It means like good news, okay? So it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So the gospel he's preaching is something about the cross of Christ, because the verse demands that. It's the context, right? And then he says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the what? Okay, so just keep this in mind at this point. Whatever Paul means by the preaching of the cross, it is the power of God. It's the power of God to save you. By the way, it's also the power of God to sanctify you. Okay? Now jump a little bit further ahead in this context here. If you would, go down to verse 21. It says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? Okay, now, make a connection then. Hold that verse and go to Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians 2, but hold that verse there. We're going to make a connection. We'll make sure that we get this connection here. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8 says this, for by grace are ye saved through what? Okay, there's our word. So by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, What are the next three words? Not of works, not of works, not of works, not of works. Okay, question then. If he says over in 1 Corinthians that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, to save them that believe, and Ephesians 2 says you're saved not of works, then can believing be a work? Can faith be a work? Not a work. That means that the value, the merit, is not in the believing. It means faith, then, in this setting, in this context, is actually linked to someone else who did the work. Someone else who paid the price, in this case, the preaching of the cross, Christ crucified. You see how faith absolutely is not a work? So let me ask it this way then. If faith is not a work, then what does that tell you about the idea of whether or not you had to have a certain level of faith? Would that be true? No. What about the concept of a certain duration of faith? Would that be true? What about a certain sincerity of faith? That'd be true. Isn't that interesting? What then is faith in this setting? When the Apostle Paul talks about faith, just the basic idea of by grace are you saved through faith. What does he mean by that then? God cannot lie. Therefore, he's trustworthy. He made a choice to save them that believe. Believe what? Christ crucified. The preaching of the cross. What's that? Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. A simple claim. And God simply says this: if you'll just take me at my word, I will save you. So what is faith then? Faith is just taking God at His word. It's making a conscious choice in the privacy of your own heart about His integrity, His claim, His offer. It's not looking to yourself to, quote-unquote, believe just right and just long enough with just the right amount of sincerity. That's not what it is. A claim is made by the God of the Bible, and He says He cannot lie. He says Christ died for your sins. Okay, so what's contained in that statement? I'm a sinner. Christ was buried. So what's contained in that statement? It's a finished act. And He rose again the third day. What's contained in that statement? His death pays the full price. And then He says, I'll save them that believe. So now what are we left to do? It's a choice. You either believe it or you don't. He doesn't say, by grace are you saved through faith. Paragraph, clarification, if you believed long enough, if you believed hard enough, if you mustered up just the right amount of intensity, then it's the gift of God. He doesn't say that. See, we ought to be so careful that we don't make faith a work. Because if we make it a work, it will lead to doubt, doubt in your security. And it'll completely hinder your spiritual growth as a believer. Did you have a question? Okay. Yes. Excellent. Two points there. Are you saved when you feel saved? Second point is you're looking for some confirmation. I don't mean you necessarily. I'm just saying that's the two points you said are exactly what people bring up. So you're expressing exactly what people are wondering about. Okay. So Do we get saved because of our faith? No. No, you don't get saved because of your faith. You get saved because of whose faith? The faith of Christ. The merit is not in your faith. The truth is the truth if you never believe it. It's still the truth. Christ still died for your sin, buried and rose again. He paid the full price. Because it's true, when you believe it, that is when you take God at His Word, He acts. Even if you never do again. Because He's true to His Word. What's the problem, therefore, with looking towards some kind of feeling? It's the wrong... Yes, exactly. Up and down like that. What's the problem with looking for some kind of confirmation to confirm whether or not you truly got saved? It's the same thing. It isn't what His Word says to look to. His Word says the thing to look to as the evidence of whether or not God will save you is the cross of Jesus Christ. Look at... Are you still there in 1 Corinthians? Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 118. 118 says this. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it was the power of God." Now, see, that verse says it is the power of God. What's the evidence of your justification? Christ crucified. What's the proof of your salvation? The Word of God. God cannot lie. He says, look to the cross. God says, am I lying to you about the cross? I'm asking you right now, is God lying to us about the cross? Okay, well then ask it this way. God saying, am I lying to you about whether or not I really and truly will save you if you believe me? God says, am I lying to you about that? Well, wait, He can't lie, so God cannot be lying to us about whether or not He really, truly will respond and do what He says He will do when you simply believe what He says. Therefore, when you trust the blood of Jesus Christ for your salvation, He really does do what He said He would do. Even if you don't have some feeling. One of the things the guy sent me on the internet recently was a Facebook post that a guy posted who was kind of struggling with this whole concept of, did he ever really believe? And he describes his experience that where he was struggling with this thing, and then as he was really struggling with it and wondering about it and blew down, and then this is how he described it on his Facebook page and everything. I do not know the guy personally. I didn't respond to him personally. You know, I don't even get on Facebook, but maybe once every lifetime. Okay, I don't do Facebook much at all. But the guy sent me this post because the guy was asking me about some of these things. But the guy that was sent this on the post and everything, he described it as though, and then all of a sudden, bam, God got me. And then he said, then I was so filled with joy, so excited, everything. Okay, listen, can I say it this way? God doesn't bam everybody. So does that mean if you didn't have that bam experience, then therefore God wasn't true to His Word, and therefore you got to doubt your salvation? You know, listen, what's happening is this. They're turning salvation, they're turning faith into a work. It is the same as what I'm saying. I'm telling you. Watch this. Look at this. You see how he says it, you see it down at verse 21? He says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that..." What? Believe. Then, what does he mean by belief? How about believe? See, we doubt God's Word. Because our flesh doesn't want to believe. It's that simple. We want to make it hard. We add all these things to it. Watch this. Remember we started, God cannot lie. He'll save them that believe. Do you remember what Paul said? It's recorded by Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 16, when he was talking to the guy known as the Philippian jailer. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. He doesn't say it this way to that guy. He says, believe just right. He doesn't say believe with just enough intensity. He doesn't say believe long enough.
Watch this. Go with me, if you would, over to Romans 3. Romans 3. So much of all the discussion about what it means to believe, and did you believe long enough and hard enough and sincere enough and so forth, so much of that is coming up because of the nature of us wanting to have some part in our justification. I believed hard enough, and you did it. I believed just right, therefore I'm secure, but maybe you didn't, so you're not secure. All of that is the product of the flesh wanting to have some part in our salvation instead of real... Watch this. Let me say it this way. This weekend we talked about what it meant to be in Christ, but in order to understand what it means to be in Christ, you have to understand who you are in Adam. How about this? Watch this list. I'm dead in trespasses and sins. I'm a child of wrath. I'm a child of disobedience. I'm walking the course of this world. Satan is the god of this world. I'm in his camp and so forth. I am condemned. I'm lost. I'm blind. I'm guilty. Okay, now, anything on that list that you can appeal to say, okay, God, I want you to save me based upon this thing. There's nothing to appeal to. So then why are we turning faith into some product of my flesh in the sense of something, therefore, that I can appeal to? Something that does have value and merit to it. No, I'm already condemned. I'm already lost. I don't become lost by rejecting Christ. I am already lost. So the whole concept, the whole thing about, the whole discussion about, well, did you believe hard enough? Did you believe long enough? Did you believe sincere enough? Listen, that all boils down to looking at you and me. Instead of simply saying, you know, Lord, my only plea is the blood. If the blood's not going to get me there, nothing I can do can get me there at all, period. Jim, go ahead. No. No. Go ahead with your question, I'm sorry. Okay. That's correct. Yeah, yeah. The initial part of your question was, is faith, the word faith in the Bible always mean the same thing? And as we demonstrated earlier today, that the word faith doesn't always mean the same thing anyway. Because sometimes it just means the integrity of someone or something. So you'd have to look at the context in which the word is used, okay? In Paul's epistles, when he says, one faith, or the faith, he's talking about that information that Christ gave to him as compared to faith in the program in the Old Testament. So it doesn't always mean the same thing, but the common denominator is always believing something, trusting something to be so. Look at these two phrases here. Look over to Acts 16 and Romans 3. Acts 16 and Romans 3. Look over to Acts 16 and Romans 3. Look at how Paul says it here in Acts 16:31. It says, and they said, watch this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's compare a phrase, however, over in Romans 3. Look at Romans 3:26. Notice it says, right at the last part of the verse, it says, of him which believeth what? Well, wait a minute now. So is it, are we believing on Jesus or are we believing in Jesus? The answer is yes. See, to believe on him is to believe what he did. So you're believing in him as a person, therefore his integrity. Believing on him, you're believing the claim about what he did for you. Those verses are not meant to contradict each other, they're meant to complement each other. So when Paul in certain verses says, faith in Christ, others he says, believe on, believe in, and then he says, trust, he's fundamentally describing the same thing. Look at how he says it at the passage in Ephesians 1. This is a passage that really has given lots of people trouble. And it is not designed to give you trouble, it's designed to give you clarity. And when I say you, by the way, I'm not picking on anybody here today, I'm just saying this is something that people are talking about. So we're talking about it, right? Because we do want to be clear on this. Look over, if you would, to Ephesians 1:13. Watch this. It says, in whom ye also... Okay, what's the next word there? After that you heard the word of truth. Didn't we begin with the verse that says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So he says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye what? What did he just do with the word trusted and the word believed in that verse? What did he just do with them? Yes. The one explains the other. The one amplifies the other. The one is not discounting the other. That verse is helping us understand that when you have... Listen, God says something. He cannot lie. It's the truth whether or not we believe it. But because it's the truth, now you can trust it. You can believe it. And when you trust it, especially in relationship to the gospel and edification and so forth, God now responds. Why does He respond? Because He said He would respond. He said, I will save you if you just believe me. He doesn't say, I will save you if you believe me long enough, hard enough, with enough intensity and so forth. He says, you know, here's my claim. My claim is 2 and 2 is 4. And it is 4. You can believe it's 5 or 3 or 1. I think it's 4, God says. If you'll believe me, you'll find out knowing 2 and 2 and 4 not only is true, but has practical impact in your life. You can disagree with me, but it still is 4. I'm just using it as a kind of a simple illustration. Faith is just believing what God says. It's trusting His integrity. It's relying on Him to be faithful to what He said He would do. Scripture says God is faithful, not us. So watch this. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 2. And we'll have to wrap it up here today. I'm not near finished with this. I know there's a lot of questions. But fundamentally, keep this in mind. Faith is just believing God. 1 Thessalonians 2. Faith is just believing God. It is not a work. It's not a reference to the intensity of your belief. It's not a reference to the duration of your belief. It's you either believe Him or you don't. Don't make it more complicated than that. Because the Bible doesn't make it more complicated than that. God says something. He cannot lie. Therefore, it's true. Well, just believe Him then. And He'll respond. Even if you don't feel anything. And even if later on, by the way, you change your mind. Because God cannot lie. He will never change His mind. He won't change His mind about what He said He would do. By the way, that's good to know, isn't it? How often throughout the day do we change our mind? How often? Yeah, exactly. So aren't you glad to know that your salvation is not based upon your faith, it's the faith of Christ, and He'll never change His mind? That's good to know. That's cool. You know? Look at this passage here. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says this. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also. In other words, it didn't just save you, but it will continue to work in you that what? You that believe. Now get the picture here. Look back at 1 Thessalonians 1. What do you know about the Thessalonians based upon 1:9? 1 Thessalonians 1:9. What do you know about them? From what? Okay, so what do you know about the Thessalonians before they ever heard what Paul said? They just went idol worshiping Gentiles, lost on their way to go now. Okay?
Here, this man, the Apostle Paul, comes to this territory talking about a different God. It was not the gods of their idols, a God they never heard about. About this God who loved them, and his son, who God the Son, became a man and went to a cruel cross and died for their sins. And rose again from the dead as the evidence that he paid the full price. And then Paul says, you know, if you believe what my God says, my God will actually save you. So what was the decision the Thessalonians had to make? Yeah, just whether or not they believed him. See that? All their history was idolatry. That's all they knew. From grandma and grandpa and... Well, that's the problem, right? I'm a grandpa now. I don't want to teach my granddaughter false stuff. But, I mean, all the way back. So here this man, they don't know Paul from anywhere else on the face of the planet. He comes in preaching and teaching about a different God than they all knew about. And he says, my God makes this claim. You guys have sinned. He loves you anyway. The proof of his love is he died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again. He paid the full price. And he raised him from the dead. And my God says, if you'll trust the blood of Jesus Christ for your salvation and therefore trust Christ, my God says he'll save you. How come those that did get saved got saved? How come? No. Okay, how come those that did get saved did get saved? Because God said he would save them if they believed. That's why they got saved. The merit, the value wasn't in their believing the truth. The truth was already there. They weren't looking to themselves. They heard a message. Now, listen, they did have to believe. And I know that's probably what you meant when you said they got saved because they believed. Well, that's true, but they got saved because of the integrity of God, not because of their integrity. They got saved because God is true to His Word, not because they were true to His Word. Paul came in with a message. And he said, this message is from the God of heaven and earth. They heard that message, and they chose to believe it for what Paul claimed it was. The Word of the living God. And all those that chose to believe it for that, and therefore chose what he claimed, what he said, they got saved. Because of the integrity of God to His Word. Find peace and rest. Not in seeking the answer to the question, did I believe hard enough or long enough or sincere enough? Don't find rest there. Because there is no rest there. Right? Am I telling you there's something true? There's no rest there. Find rest where the justice of God rested. The finished work of Christ. Find peace for your soul. Not in seeking to answer the question, did I believe hard enough or long enough or sincere enough? Find rest for your soul, comfort for your soul in the integrity of the one who makes the claim. That's God. And therefore in the content of the claim, that's what Christ did for you. See the difference there? Faith is not a work. Rest, rest, rest. When Paul uses the word faith in that context, he means trust. He means believe. You're believing in the person because of what he did. Therefore, you are believing on the person because of who he is. We're going to look at next time. Well, then what does he mean by your faith? He also says things like, your faith increasing. Well, what does that mean then? John, you've been telling me it's not in reference to the level of my faith. He says, when your faith is increased,
He talks about your faith growing. He talks about your furtherance of faith. So John, doesn't that therefore mean that my faith needs to grow and increase, and therefore isn't there value in my faith? You've got to come back next week to find out the answer to those questions. Because Paul uses those statements too, doesn't he? Measure of faith. There's another phrase. Okay? So I hope the purpose of this, of course, has not been in any way to discourage anyone. It has been for the purpose of helping us really know where to find that peace. And it's in a person because of a work that he did. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your word this morning, to think about these things. Because there is. I mean, our flesh always wants to get in the mix, and whenever it gets in the mix, it spoils the mix. It makes void the cross. Father, we're grateful that your word, you keep pointing us back to the Lord Jesus, back to what he did, back to the cross, back to your integrity, back to your faithfulness, back to what you say. God, we so need that, so often, all the time, to renew our minds, to refresh our hearts, to help us be settled again and experience and enjoy that peace that passes understanding in our inner man. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.